All right, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading in verse number 6. Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 6. We'll read two verses. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're going to be looking at tonight the companion of thankfulness. Last week, you remember we looked at the sin of thanklessness, or the sin of being unthankful. Tonight, our third week and our final week looking at thankfulness and thanksgiving. And we're looking at the companion of thankfulness. The companion of thankfulness. We're going to reference a few other texts as we make our way through this. In the verse that we've read tonight, the first thing we want to notice is the enemy of thankfulness. The enemy of thankfulness. And it does have an enemy. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." That word careful means anxious or worried. It means don't be worried about everything or anything. Be careful for nothing means don't worry about things. That's what it means. Now, we don't deal well with that, do we? We don't heed that instruction very well. I tell you, we're worryful people. We're worryful a lot. Worry, Brother Ware has said this so many times, I've heard him say it over the years, worry is the greatest enemy of faith. I say this, worry says, what can I do? Faith says, what will God do? Worry is the great enemy of faith. So carefulness is the word that our text uses. That's the enemy of thankfulness. And as we work our way through this, you'll see how it is the enemy of thankfulness. It sounds right now as if I'm telling you it's the enemy of faith, and it is, but it's the enemy of thankfulness. It's the enemy of thankfulness as well. We'll explain that to you as we work our way through it. Be careful for nothing. We need to be mindful of the word nothing there. That means great or small. That means without any regard or respect to any particular situation, be careful for nothing. Why? Because worry is sin. Again, because worry says, what am I going to do? The very concept of worry is to say, this rests upon me. If I don't fix it, it's not going to be fixed. It's to put you on the throne of sovereignty and remove God from the throne of sovereignty. It's what it does when you worry over matters. So be careful for nothing. And then he tells us what to do. He tells us don't worry, but then he says, here's what you do in the place of worry. He says, but in everything. Now that's the exact opposite of nothing. He said, with everything, in everything. He says, by prayer and supplication. We've already covered those two words a couple of weeks ago. Prayer, supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. That's what we've done around these altars just a couple of minutes ago. We made our request be made known to God. We need to understand that we, by virtue of birthright, have full access and right to the throne of grace. The Bible says we can come not with tail tucked between the legs, but we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. That's what we, in other words, we can approach the throne of grace. It's not talking about in some arrogant, self-centered kind of way, but we can approach the throne of grace knowing that we belong there, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of who Christ is and because of what we have done. We are adopted into the family of God. Christ died in our stead on our behalf took our sins upon Him and clothed us in His righteousness. And we have absolute right to the throne of grace. You have as much right. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Don't think this is blasphemous. This is biblically sound. You have as much a right to approach the throne of grace and talk to God as Jesus Christ has to talk to His Heavenly Father. You have that much right to pray and talk to God. And that's what He tells us to do here in verse number 6. Make your supplication, or by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So it's that simple. Make your request. Let them be made known to God. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't wring your hands. He said, just make your request known to God. But it said with thanksgiving. It was prayer, supplications. Again, we looked at those words 2 weeks past. But He said with thanksgiving. Now, a lot of people will read that and say, go ahead and praise God for answering your prayer. And I'm not here to necessarily to argue that mindset. I guess that could be okay, but be careful about approaching it that way and that way alone. Really, if you want to be 100% right and true to the text, when it talks about with thanksgiving, it means going ahead and accepting the answer to the prayer, whether it be the answer you just requested or not. It's not saying, God, I'm going to go ahead and thank You for healing my body because I already know that You're going to. No, that's not thanksgiving in that way. It's not thanking God because you just absolutely know healing's coming your way because of your infirmities, but it's thanking God because you know that however He chooses to answer that prayer, it will be right. Even if the way that He answers that prayer is different, even if it's 180 degree opposite from what you had prayed for, it will be right. And so we thank God on those grounds because we know, number one, that we have access. We have right, we have access to the throne of grace. We know that our prayers will be heard. He's promised us that if we don't regard iniquity in our heart, He's going to hear our prayer. And God answers prayer. He's a prayer answering God. He don't always answer the way we want it to. And some people would say that's a cop out. That's just a back door for you to be able to walk out of when your supposed God don't answer your prayers the way that you want them answered. No, that's not what it is at all. God's my Lord. He's not my servant. You understand that? He's my Lord and not my servant. So I don't bark out orders to Him. You remember that quote that we read to you last week, the one that it took me about 10 minutes to figure out, you know, that I had written down so sloppy. And what did Albert Barnes say? In that quote, I can't quote it exactly, but what he said is men have always supposed that they could give God orders because they think that they know better than He does. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to be guilty of that. We simply, we take the birthright that we have as a child of God. We approach the throne of grace. We approach it with boldness, humility, but boldness, knowing that our prayers will be heard. And we thank God for the hearing and the answering of the prayer, regardless of what the answer turns out to be. That's the crippling of worry, that kind of a prayer. Worry is the enemy of thanksgiving, but if you want to cripple the enemy, you pray in that fashion. Verse number 7 said, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the companion of thankfulness, is the peace of God. When you cultivate thankfulness, the constant companion of thankfulness is the peace of God. And I'm talking about true thankfulness, Bible thankfulness, like we've been trying to describe to you over the course of the last few weeks. There's another verse, kind of a companion verse to this. Some people say it's basically Paul saying the very same thing to a different church, but it's in Colossians 3:15. Here's what Paul said to the church at Colossians. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." That is very much the same thing being said. That word rule there in Colossians 3:15, when he says, "Let the peace of God ruling your heart. It's that same peace of God that we're reading about there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And he says that that peace of God passes all understanding. That peace of God, he says, is to rule in your hearts. That rule literally means to umpire. It means to, as a judge, would render a verdict. That's what the word rule means there. So when he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, it means let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the judge. It's the same thing that's being said there in verse 7 of our text here in Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a lot of folk don't know much about the peace of God. I've talked to a lot of people over the years who were unsure about what they were supposed to do in particular situations. What am I supposed to do? How will I know the will of God? A lot of people get plumb strange about trying to figure out the will of God. They want to go throwing out fleeces and see if it'll have dew on it. First one thing, then the other. I'll tell you the best way I know for you to know the peace of God. Know the will of God for your, or rather to know the will of God is to know the peace of God. God will give you peace about the will of God for your life. And you say, well, I don't know what that peace is. Well, when you meet it, you'll know it. It'll introduce itself to you. And so that's the best advice I have ever found to give somebody is, number one, make sure your life is clean. Make sure all sin's out of your life. There's no hidden secret sin. Make sure you're doing everything that you know to do and pray and seek God. And if something's the will of God for your life, you know what you'll have? You'll have a peace. But it's not just a peace. What the Bible say that it was? It says the peace of God which passeth all understanding. In other words, God can give you total and absolute peace in a matter when it don't even make sense. When you can sharpen the pencil as sharp as you can get it and things still don't work out on paper. You've known people before, haven't you, who the doctor told them there's absolutely nothing we can do. And the doctor hangs their head and says, we have a terrible report for you. There's absolutely no hope. And that person walks away from that with their head held high. They have the presence of God about them. They have the peace of God upon them. And they seem to have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. How do you explain that? That don't make sense. The doctor physically just handed them a death sentence. It's because they have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Passes all understanding. That's the companion of thankfulness. Now, I want to remind you of some things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. Do you remember in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, do you remember what it said? It told us that in everything we're to give thanks. It tells us the reason we're to give thanks in all things because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And do you remember what we taught you about that? It literally means that anything and everything that comes into our life came through the hand of God. Either the hand of God placed it personally there, or it came through God permitting it into our life. But make no mistake about it. There's never been any situation, any circumstance that was a reality in our life that God, A, wasn't aware of, B, that He didn't allow there, or C, that He's in control of. God's aware of all of it. And He's not aware in the sense that He just knows about it but can't do anything about it. If God wanted for that situation to not be a reality in your life, rest assured He could cause it to not be a reality in your life. It's there because God wants it there. Why does God want it there? We don't always know. We don't always know, but we don't have to. Remember, He's our Lord, not our servant. So if we are able to accept what we learn in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that in everything, all things, good, bad, whatever, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we get to that place to where everything that comes into our life. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never get to a place to where hurt doesn't hurt. You'll never get to that place. You'll never get to the place where grief is not grievous. You'll always be human. But there is the reality and the real possibility for you to get to a place in your walk with God that you can accept everything that comes into your life, knowing that it would have never got through the gate, would have never made it across the threshold if God didn't allow it there. And if God allowed it there, God has a purpose for it. And you can rest not in the situation, not in the circumstance, but you can rest having the peace of God, knowing that this is here and I have no liking for this. I have no joy in this. I have no pleasure in this. I have no comfort in this, but I accept this because my God allowed it here. And my God's too good to allow something into my life that ultimately won't be here to bring Him glory and for my good. And so when you come to that place, then you're able to live with a thankful attitude and with a thankful mindset, personality about you. You know why people are not thankful oftentimes? We've already said previously last week and week before that because they think too much of themselves. They feel entitled. We covered that ground. But they also were unthankful because when definite hardships, definite struggles come into their life, they feel somehow that this is a bad thing, that there's no way that anything good could ever come from this. Even believers, I'm talking about people that have been saved for a lengthy period of time, they view things like that as bad, period. That's just it. It's just bad. Case closed. And they don't understand what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is communicating to them. That they're to give thanks for those things because of God that loves them and is intimately concerned for them and would never let anything bad happen just for the sake of it being bad in their life. But that very God has allowed this in their life. So without understanding at all why what's happening is happening, without knowing how it will all turn out, without enjoying anything about it, they can thank God for it because they rest in His omniscience, knowing that He knows everything, rest in His omnipotence, knowing that He is all-powerful and that He's in total control. That's how you become a thankful person. And when you are thankful to that end, do you know what is the constant companion of that thankfulness? The peace of God. That's exactly right. When you are able to walk in that kind of a mindset, you'll never lack the peace of God in your life because it's a constant abiding in, a constant trusting in, a constant resting upon your God who is absolutely in control, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, and is in total control. We get worked up and we worry and we fall into a spirit of unthankfulness because really, in the back of our mind, we worry God's not in control of this thing. He's in control. Don't you worry about that. He's in control. The peace of God, that's the constant companion of thankfulness. People the world over are interested in peace. How can we have peace? How can we know peace? That's how the Antichrist will come on the scene and gain popularity. He'll promise peace. Everybody's in the market for peace tonight. But if you want to know the best way this simple country preacher knows to have peace in your life, get thankfulness in your life. Get to the place where you can thank God for everything in your life, every bad thing that's ever happened to you in your life. And I've got no doubt that some of you people have hurt, particular kinds of hurt that your pastor knows nothing about. I can't empathize with you on some of the pain you've experienced, but I can tell you this, Christ can empathize. And not only can He empathize, He supervised every bit of that. He allowed every bit of it. And there's a God in heaven that has never allowed anything into your life that wasn't for your ultimate good and wasn't for His ultimate glory. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He operates on that premise tonight. And if God gives you another 10, 20, 50, 70 years of life, He'll still be operating on that same premise. So from this day forward, I want you to know that you can rest assured regardless of what the sunrise brings, regardless of what the next phone call brings, no matter what comes into your life. And there's going to be things come into your life that's going to knock you to your knees, knock the wind out of you, make you want to curl up in a fetal position and not get back up. But know this, it didn't sneak in while God had his back turned. It come in because God allowed it in. And God allowed it in not because he hates you, but because he loves you. God allowed it in because he can see so much further down the road than we can see. And he understands so much more about us than we understand about ourselves. Some of the very people tonight, the words I've just said would apply to some of you that have felt pains that I've never felt. If they were to stand right now and testify, they'd tell you I'd never want to go through that again. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But God grew me in that. I know more about God, and I'm closer to God now, having went through that, than I was before I went through it. I would never know the things of God that I know now had I not lived through what I lived through. And do you understand that God's willing to allow anything into your life to have more of you and for you to have more of him? So whatever comes into our life, and I know this is easy to stand behind the pulpit and say, while me and my wife are healthy so far as we know, and the children are healthy so far as we know, and the bills are paid so far as we know, and all of those things. But it's a different thing to walk it out in shoe leather. It's a different thing, I know, when it's your loved one with all those hoses and wires hooked up to them. It's a different thing when it's your child that walks away from everything you've ever taught them. Your grandchild walks away from everything you've ever taught them. That's just proving ground when it comes into our life. But the reality is still the reality. God has allowed it into our life. Why? For our ultimate good and for his ultimate glory. If you can accept that tonight, and many people cannot accept that, there's a lot of people who are as saved as you are, good people, that do love God, but they have had life experiences that they just cannot accept what I've just told you. But if you can't get a hold of that, I want to tell you who suffers as a result of that. You suffer as a result of it. The best thing you can do is latch on to that truth. Embrace that truth. The truth that I'm telling you about everything that's in your life is there because God allowed it there. The best thing you can do is fling both arms open and accept it, embrace it, and thank God for it. And when you do that, I assure you, the peace of God will rule and reign in your life. And I want to testify to you, and I have not had some of those experiences. Again, I won't say that. I've had some experiences. And the peace of God ruling in my life has been the sweetest experience I've ever had. To absolutely have a harbor, to have a refuge, a place of rest in the peace of God. When absolutely nothing makes sense, when there's no rhyme, there's no reason, the math doesn't work out, but knowing that I can trust my God and that it's all in his good, trustworthy hands and rest in that peace. That's the sweetest place a child of God can ever be. The peace of God, that's the constant companion of thankfulness, and it's good company to keep. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here with our church family gathered together. God, I pray that you would bless each family here and each individual. Lord, I pray that through the time of Thanksgiving that they would reflect upon the goodness of God in their life, your mercy and grace in their life. And God, help us to take heed to what we've learned over the course of the last few services on Wednesday nights. Help us, Lord, to embrace that reality. God, you're too good of a God to let only things that we think to be good in our life. You allow some hard things, some difficult things, even tragedies, great tragedies in our lives. But God, you have purpose. You have reason. And even though you don't tell us, more times than not, we can rest in the fact that it is for our good. It is for your glory. And we can rest in that. We can rest in that and be thankful for it. We know the peace of God. Help us, Lord, not just to accept it on a Wednesday night prayer meeting when all is well, but Lord, there's coming a day and an hour in each person's life in this sanctuary where the hounds of hell are going to be released on them. It's going to seem like they're fighting hell by the acre. God, I pray that you'd bring these truths to remembrance. Help them to know that none of it's taking you by surprise. None of it didn't slip in while your back was turned. And just as with Job, everything, Lord, has to bow down to your command, and nothing can touch us that you hadn't allowed to. We ask you, Lord, to grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.